At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Today we are talking some must draft players inside of the top 50. Basically, my favorite targets in the top 50 in fantasy basketball drafts. Let's go!
Jordan open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life. He's responsible.
Gosh, back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang!
Curry for three. Wow! Unbelievable. Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination. It's the journey.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy or on X, whatever you want to call it. Ball Boys Fantasy is the handle to search up. And it is important to get on Twitter this time of year because NBA games are going to be starting basically in 1 week's time, exactly 1 week's time by the time this podcast comes out. I will be doing all of my quick live reactions, and when the season starts, I will probably be returning to one show a week, potentially a second show if something major happens. So obviously, for everything that happens in between those shows, follow me on Twitter at BallBoysFantasy if you want my takes. And specifically for takes such as some of the news that is coming through, there's a bit of news happening specifically at Philadelphia at the moment. I'll cover this off before we start because this show was a must-draft players and players that I want to target inside the top 50. And a player that was going to be onto this list until today was Paul George. Paul George was a player that I was really happy to be drafting close to pick 30 in the third round. I have him on several teams that I've already drafted so far. And today, two things happened. First of all, the news came out that they were apparently going to be resting both Joel Embiid and Paul George on most, if not all, back-to-backs, which for Joel Embiid, we knew about. We kind of expected this. But for Paul George, I did not expect this. He wasn't going to the season carrying any injuries until today. He didn't have any off-season surgery or anything like that. He played back-to-backs last year. This was not something that I think that, while some people maybe have labeled him injury-prone, and ironically, he's injured today, so you might feel like you've been proven right. I, prior to this news, was not thinking that, and so that made me a little bit more concerned. But even further, today, Paul George has gone down with a knee injury. He has what they're calling a hyperextended left knee, which my exercise physiology brain gripe is knee hyperextension is not an injury. It is a mechanism of injury. We don't know exactly how bad it is. So basically, he went back, he hyperextended his knee. He didn't return. Obviously, you're not going to return after that in a preseason game. It didn't look good, personally, from watching it. It wasn't anything like he was backing up. It didn't look like it took much for that to happen. So whenever that happens, you sort of go, oh, that's not good. Like, why did the knee bend back that far enough that easily? We don't know. You could hyperextend your knee and you can tear your ACL doing that. People have done that. It's a mechanism of tearing your ACL. You could hyperextend your knee and just have some bone bruising and some swelling, and it's fine within a week. You know, it might not be anything. It might be something really bad. We don't know. It is very hot off the news. You might know by the time this podcast comes out, they might have a more actual diagnosis. But just remember, a hyperextension is not an injury. It is a mechanism of an injury. It's like when someone rolls their ankle. Oh, I rolled my ankle. You could roll your ankle and be fine. It could be nothing. You could have a grade 1 ankle sprain. You could have an ankle, high ankle sprain. You could have a, which is a syndesmosis. You could have a grade 3 ankle sprain that requires surgery and you're out for 6 months. Like, there are lots of different variations of injuries and things like that when it comes to a knee extension. It is the mechanism. So that's my little rant on injuries. But Paul George will no longer be on this list because obviously this injury is definitely something that we need to be across of. And obviously the back-to-back restings is something that I wasn't expecting, at least not basically them missing all back-to-backs, which this injury I think might further prove, even if he is fine. So I would discount him. He's no longer a massive target of mine. With that said, this video, as we dive into it, 5 minutes in, I haven't gone to the video. We're going to talk about 10 players inside the top 50. I will be doing a 51 to 100 and a 100 plus version of this one as well, in place of basically sleepers. I'm labeling it a must draft list. It is essentially just players that I like to target, players that I think have a chance to beat their ADP this season, and players that I think, especially in this top 50, have good value because of the uniqueness of their stat set and what they offer. I'll talk through that as we go. So let's stop waffling on and let's get into pick number one. It is James Harden at number 12 on Yahoo's rank, which is what I'm using for this video. I could go on ADP. I could go on ADP of Fantrax or ESPN. That's the last time I'll mention that site. But we're going to go on Yahoo ranking because that's where a lot of the ADP kind of flows on from. That's where it falls in the draft room. So James Harden at number 12, I think I'm happy to draft him now at about pick 8. I'd be happy to draft him at pick 8. Joel Embiid, the news there as well is that he's basically going to be missing all back-to-backs, which we expected. But also, the wording, which from Shams today, was very elusive, I would say. He said, what did he say specifically? He said he's going to be having periodic times off, which to me sounds like on top of missing all the back-to-backs, there are times that he's just going to go home for a couple of weeks at a time, potentially, which you factor in the missed back-to-backs, you factor in the potential for injury, then you also factor in the potential for just not playing because they're managing him for multiple games at a time. It is now just starting to be too much for me. So I'm no longer drafting Joel Embiid in the first round, and that moves players like James Harden up in my board, and I think I'd be happy to take him at pick number 8. So him at number 12 at the end of the first round, if you get him there, I think that's a good steal. I would be selecting him as high as pick 8. I think he, Steph Curry, Jason Tatum, LaMelo Ball, Trae Young are all in a bit of a mix together, but out of all those players, I think James Harden actually comes out in front all of those players because of his potential. I like the way you can build around him as either a punt field goal percentage or a punt points build, depending on what comes back to you. The elite assists are just super, super good to build around, and the free throw percentage, he's looked good. And I think without Paul George there, he's going to have a bounce back season. So I like him at pick 12. He's the first player I'm targeting as a must draft player. The next guy is LaMelo Ball. Yahoo has him ranked at 17. A lot of you might be worried about the injuries. I am not. Remember, I'm old enough to remember this and was playing fantasy basketball at the time. Steph Curry had glass ankles. He could never stay healthy. He had glass ankles. And the year that I think I didn't do this at the time. I've learned since this. But I was scared of drafting Steph Curry back in the day because of his glass ankles until Steph Curry turned into Steph Curry. And the year that someone drafted him in the third round or something like that is the year he absolutely went off and became the Steph Curry that we know. So ankle injuries, rolled ankles, things like that, it's not something that I expect to reoccur for someone like LaMelo, different to multiple surgeries on your knee like an Embiid and Kawhi Leonard. So at number 17, like I said, I think I'd be very happy taking him at the end of the first round. Now, in the Philippines versus World draft, I took him at 8. I don't think I'd take him that high normally. That draft, if you watch it and listen to it, we had pre-organized some punting strategies to work as a collective team, and my strategy was to punt all big men stats, and LaMelo Ball was basically the number one ranked player in that type of a build, and it was a 16-team league, so he wasn't going to be there on the second round, so I just took him. It's a bit of a fun pick, but I'd probably more realistic like to get him about 10, 11, or 12, around that kind of a spot. So going from a second-round player, mid-second round, to the end of the first round, I think is some serious value. I would very much like to get Lamelo. If I got him in the second round, I'd be very, very happy to pair him with my first round player and take on that, the risk associated with him there. The next player on my list is Karl Anthony Towns. Now, this one maybe is a little bit unfair because obviously I don't think the rankings has updated since the trade, or at least it hasn't updated enough, I don't think. At 22, I think it's solid value. I think he probably goes another half round higher than this in most cases. I'd probably take him ahead of another big man in the second round in Domantas Sabonis, who usually goes a bit higher. I'd probably take him ahead of Chet Holmgren in that second round there as well. So he clears a few of those other big guys. There's an argument to even take him ahead of a Joel Embiid, to be honest. So he at rank 22, I think, is a bit of a bargain there. We're going to see him playing back a set. He's getting up the second highest amount of shots, I think, on that team behind Jalen Brunson. And the blocks should rise, the rebounds should rise with no Rudy Gobert there. He could be a first-round player once again. He was a perennial top 10 player for many years, and then when Gobert was traded in, he dropped back to the 30s and things like that. So I think we need to bring it back. I don't think he's going to go back to that because I don't think he... Back then, he was sort of like the number one player still when Anthony Edwards was still coming up. He's not going to be that, I don't think, on the Knicks, but I think he's more of a closer to 15 kind of a ranked player than someone like at 22. So I like him at pick number 22 as a bit of a must-draft player and very valuable to build around. Those bigs that can give you some scoring, some threes, some assists, and do it with good efficiency and field goal percentage and free throws, plus give you over a block per game. I think it's very difficult to find that. So the uniqueness and the combination of his stats, I think, makes the team-building exercise of fantasy drafting much easier and removes a bit of a headache than forcing yourself to be so strong in your free throw percentage and then draft someone like a Rudy Gobert or a Nick Claxton later in the draft. And there's just a little bit more uncertainty with top players like that. Plus, you've got the element of trying to balance the free throw percentage and the lack of scoring, lack of threes, all those kind of things where you could maybe be getting those guards and avoiding that big man run in the middle of the, in the mid rounds, I think is semi-valuable unto itself. All right, another big man at number 30 ranked, Alperen Şengün makes this list. He was probably the guy that, I don't feel as strongly about as some of the others. Like a Sabonis sort of type, he probably doesn't quite have the rebounding or the field goal percentage boost that a Sabonis does, but I think his ceiling is higher. He blocks more shots. I think he gets more steals per game as well. So defensive stats are a little bit higher. I think he could score more as well. I do really think he can score more. He could potentially be the number one player fantasy-wise for the Houston Rockets, and that's saying something because they've got some good fantasy players, including a guy we'll talk about in a couple players' time. But Şengün is... He won't hit threes. His free throw percentage has actually looked good, and there's been patches where his free throw percentage has been decent. I still think I'd be wary of it. It's not a punt territory. He's probably safer in that type of build, but I don't think you have to really automatically do it. I'd be very happy. I'd love to get him at 30. If I was forced, gun to my head, to take him at the end of the second round, I wouldn't be upset. I think it would be okay. I think I could make that work. And I think that there's builds that you can do that with someone like a like an Alperen Şengün. I think he's just going to continue to go from strength to strength. Averaging, if he averaged 25 points per game this year, I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think he will. I think he'd be close to the, sort of the low 20s. But, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.2, 1.3 steals, 0.8, 0.9 blocks. Field goal percentage should get close to that 55% mark. And if he goes north of 72% free throw percent shooting, that's going to massively, massively boost his value in a 9 category setting. But you could also just look to punt that category as well if you wanted to. And he's basically like a Sabonis in the third round, essentially. And a lot of people pay a lot of draft capital to get their Sabonis in that second round. I say just wait on it and get your Alperen Şengün in the third round and get yourself another guard or another scoring player in that second round to pair with your Giannis's or your Lucas or anything like that if you want to go that punt free throw percentage build. I think there's more value in a player like Şengün than a similar shape of player in a Sabonis, which is why he makes this list. The next guy here is Cade Cunningham, and we're waiting for it. Is this the year that he breaks out? I think it could be. He looked really good in the last game that he played. I drafted him in a league the other day, and I feel quite good about it. I think I got him at pick 34 or something like that. So I think this could be the year that we see him really step it up. The key for him is trying to get to the free throw line a bit more, but I think the addition of Tobias Harris, the direction of the Detroit Pistons is, hey, let's get away from being the worst team in the NBA. Let's actually start to put some shooting around our superstar. Let's start to actually look a bit more like an NBA team, which, crazy, I know, it's a crazy thing to say, but I think that that's going to help him. I think he's going to have less defensive focus on him because they can't. There's going to be other threats out on the court. And I think that's going to help his efficiency. I think that's going to help his three-point volume. I also think that's going to help reduce the turnovers, which is obviously a big detractor in his nine-category value. But even still, if he did the same thing, scoring guards with good assists and solid enough rebounds. Again, rebounding, I'm finding one of the tougher categories to balance out in a lot of my drafts so far because of the runs of big men that we see in the middle rounds. If I can just, you know, hedge towards a player who's a slightly better rebounding guard, it reduces the necessity of really getting caught up in those runs in later rounds. So I like...
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But DC politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
The utility of grabbing someone like a Cade Cunningham who's got upside, but even if he just replicates what he did last season, the utility of him being someone who averages maybe like 5 rebounds per game instead of someone, another guard averaging 3.5 rebounds per game. I think there's some value to that, and he's got upside to improve, I think, with the addition of all those other players that have come over to help the Detroit Pistons actually look like a semi-semblance of an NBA team. So I think Cade Cunningham, this could be the year he breaks out and reaches that second round value that I think he's shown the potential for a long time. Like this run in the 30s, I've got four guys from pick 30 to 34 all in a row that I really like on Yahoo. Fred VanVleet is ranked at 32 over there. Now, he is a 9-category darling because he has a low turnovers, he has high steals, he has high threes. His assist to turnover ratio is really, really high. So I believe last year he was close to maybe an early second rounder. I don't know if I view him that highly. But again, like a Fred VanVleet, like a Şengün, if you were forcing me to pick him at the end of the second round, I don't think I'd be very upset. In fact, I would probably look to do that in some cases if I wanted to maybe go with a Jokic punt points team and get some threes and some steals to cover up his weaknesses. I would look to do that. The reason I prefer him in the third round is because of his scoring being a little bit lower. And if you weren't looking to punt that category, it's a bit harder to make up for it in the first two rounds. But in the third round, you start to get a few lower scorers going. So at 32, I think it's great value. He will rank much better than this in 9-category rankings. And if you are someone who's trying to look after your turnovers and have that good ratio of assist turnovers, he is excellent at it. His high three volume is really good. 1.7 steals or something like that. He averaged a high steal guy. He's always been a high steal guy. He actually isn't a bad shot blocker for a guard as well. And for a guy his size, you know, half a shot blocked per game is actually really good from your guard there as well. Be mindful of the field goal percentage being bad, but it is something that's very easily recoverable from, different to free throw percentage in my experience, and the scoring I've talked about. So the lower scoring is something to be aware of, either punting it or hopefully you get a couple of high scorers in the first couple of rounds. So in the third round, I love me some Fred VanVleet as a guy to really lock in some of those other stats if you concentrated on your scoring early on, and it brings you back to the pack in turnovers if that's something you're worried about. And the last guy on this little run here at number 33, so we've got 30, 31, 32, and now 33, is Jalen Williams. So I like the 30s. There's a lot of players in the 30s. This third round is very, very nice. The end of the third round is very nice, in my opinion, which, again, let's make sure that, you know, third round reversal becomes more of a normal thing because these guys could all be scooped up. I think before it gets to those players with the Wembys and the Jokic teams. But Jalen Williams at number 33 is a guy I like. He, to me, was the replacement for Paul George to make this a 10-man list. So he was kind of like a late addition. I think he's going to be a good 9-cap player. I also think he's going to be a really solid addition to punt points teams and potentially punt three teams because the free throw percentage at decent volume is really nice. He's not going to hurt you in either percentage. His defensive stats, especially the steals, I can definitely see rising compared to last year. He had large stretches at 1.7, 1.8 steals per game. To begin last year, he was unusually down in steals, and the variability of that category just has me hedging my bets that I think is going to bounce back up. I see him closer to a 1.4, 1.5 steals per game guy. Not quite the 1.8 that he was averaging for the second half of the previous season. Not quite the 0.9 or 1.0 steals he was averaging the first half of last season. Somewhere in the middle, that 1.4, 1.5, I think is about where he will end up. And I just think without Giddy there, he's going to have more role in scoring. He's probably going to increase his assist numbers, I think is definitely something that we can see rise. And the minutes, I think, can climb a little bit higher as well. He's got a really good fantasy game. Between 0.6 and one block per game. So, nearly a block per game from a player who typically gives you the more guard-heavy stats. The only thing that he doesn't do that you would hope he does is hit high volume of threes. But it's something you can work with, and it is a decent category to punt if you wanted to as well. And I like in that type of a build, getting players who are good from both the field and the free throw line, which he obviously is. So here's someone that I like at this spot at number 33 as a nice player, I think has a bit of breakout potential. He was obviously the number one breakout on the top 10 breakout videos. If you haven't checked that one out, view it over here. There'll be a little link. All right, let's go to number... What is this? Number 8, I think this is. DeJounte Murray, ranked at 36. He plays for the Pelicans now. He is gone from Atlanta Hawks. What that, I think, does is increase his assists. I also think it increases his rebounds. There is no center on this team. They're apparently playing Herb Jones at center. And when DeJounte Murray doesn't have a center to compete with, he gobbles up those rebounds for a guard. That was always the thing that he did very well at the Spurs. Now, he went to the Atlanta Hawks, and that dropped because he's playing next to Clint Capella, who also gobbles up rebounds. There's no longer that case here. I think you can definitely see, like what I said with Cade Cunningham, DeJounte Murray, a high-rebounding guard early on in the draft, just helps you feel a bit more comfortable passing on some of those big man runs. He's actually improved his three-point shooting over the last few seasons. Similar, however, I just don't think the scoring to Fred VanVleet, I don't think the scoring is going to be super high. You're going to see Zion score a lot. You're going to see CJ still get his shots. And if Ingram's still there for the season, he'll get his shots. So he's probably like the fourth usage guy. So I don't know if he's going to crack. I don't think he's probably going to crack 20 points per game, which is a little bit less than a few other guys going at this kind of a spot. But to give you like 2.2, 2.3 threes, 6.5 rebounds, 7 to 8 assists per game, 1.5 steals, it's all very, very valuable. So he fits a lot of builds, punting blocks, punting points, I think are probably the most common. So I think that he just fits a few builds and the rebounding guards, I think this year, especially with how drafts are kind of shaping up with those big man runs, I think has a decent value. And then for that reason, for the punt blocks teams, DeJounte Murray is super, super valuable because that rebound balance of things is difficult to get in those type of builds. And I think that is a popular strategy this year. So he at 36 is someone that, again, I'd be pretty happy taking 6 to 10 spots higher, personally. I think he's more of an early third rather than a late third, start of the fourth round type of a player. So he's a player that I do like to target. Evan Mobley, my guy, back-to-back years. He makes this list. Number 38. He was the 40th ranked player last year. So at worst, I think he finishes there. So this is a kind of a player that I'm picking in a lot of spots because very little downside. Very little downside, in my opinion. He had injuries last year, and previous to that, he was quite healthy. He came back. He showed no signs of it lingering. Very little downside. I think there's a lot of upside from this point of view. So at worst, you kind of get what you pay for. At best, I think you've got 10 to 15 spots of value here. He is being featured very highly, and the coach has talked very, very highly of him this offseason. They want to get him the ball, citing that he's going to have more usage. They're going to use him a bit more as a playmaking hub. Think of like a Sabonis kind of a type. He has the ability to do that. He has the skill set to do that. And I think, even though there's a lot of concern about the Cavs' minutes going down across the board, he only played 33 minutes a night last year, so I think that it's going to remain the same. I don't think that threat applies to him. That's more of a Donovan Mitchell kind of concern. But I do think that there's a lot of untapped potential with him. The free throw percentage improved last year. I can see that improving slightly again. And the issue with drafting players who get blocks, a lot of the time they either don't score enough, they don't shoot threes, or their free throw percentage is terrible, they don't give you assists. You don't have to do that with Evan Mobley. He allows you to still get your blocks, but not make a huge sacrifice when it comes to your scoring or your assists, or he gets you a steal per game. I think that's very valuable. Besides just his overall value, again, from a team building perspective, I think that that uniqueness of his stats, like, consider him like a Chet Holmgren 20 spots later. Now, Chet will hit you more threes and maybe give you better free throw percentage. But I think Mobley's going to get more rebounds. And I think Mobley's going to probably give you better field goal percentage. So why is there 20 spots difference? Why is there like two rounds difference between these players? I think the gap is much closer than what the draft capital suggests. And I think I think that he's a bit of a bargain with very little downside and a lot of upside, in my opinion. So Evan Mobley at number 38 for back-to-back years is a player that I'm targeting a lot in drafts. The final player, like 6 or 7 players in the 30s. We've got no one in the 40s. The 40s is not a part of the Yahoo board that I love a lot. But at number 50, inside my top 50, Zion Williamson ranks there, and I am in on Zion Williamson this season. I've previously been the anti-Zion guy. I've sort of questioned the value of his field goal percentage, especially on the punt free throw percentage teams. I actually think he makes a lot of sense on non-punt free throw percentage builds. A lot of his value comes from field goal percentage, but they're going to play him more at center this year. I think you can see his rebounds rise. I think his defensive stats, which did start to show last year, rose, and I think they're going to continue to stay that way. I think he is looking really, really good. He is looking more slim, and I know that we see that most years, but I think it's a bit more real this year based on the way he's looking and moving. I just think this is going to be a really big year for Zion, and I think you can deal with his free throw percentage, especially in a week-to-week format. There, like, he goes to the line sometimes and hits 9 out of 9 free throws. That's a huge boost. Sometimes he'll go to the free throw line and hit 5 out of 9. And it's a big drag. But I don't think, like a Giannis, it's an automatic punt, because he is not as consistently bad as a Giannis is. And because of the place in which you're drafting him in the 40s, you could have drafted some really good free throw percentage volume players early to float your free throw percentage and then get a Zion Williamson, and it still work out to be quite good. Versus Giannis, you're foregoing the good free throw percentage shooters to draft him. You're not having to do that with a Zion Williamson. So I don't think he's a must. He's only a suitable for punt free throw percentage players, where he will quote-unquote rank a lot better. I think from a team building perspective, he actually makes more sense on a team that maybe went guard heavy early and you don't want to forsake your field goal percentage. He's a way to get that back up without sacrificing the scoring, because a lot of the guys that do that don't score very much. You know, your Jarrett Allens, your Rudy Gobert's, Jakob Poeltl's, like, they're not scoring very well, but they're ways to get your field goal percentage back up. If you don't want to have to do both, I think Zion is someone that is very, 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 very good in that situation. And I think he just has that ability to, especially in a small sample size, just really help you win fantasy basketball championships. And I'm not as concerned about his injury history. You have to take that into a little bit of account, but there's so many players that are injury prone these days. It's hard to avoid them all. And I think Zion Williamson has much more higher upside than a lot of them. So at number 50, this is the start of the fifth round. I am absolutely happy to take him. I've taken him in a couple of drafts already so far. I've taken him in a roto format in the mid-40s because, again, I drafted some good free throw percentage shooters later and earlier, I should say. And so far, I'm tracking to finish sort of mid-pack in free throw percentage, but finish really strong in field goal percentage as a bit of a trade-off. So I think Zion Williamson is someone you can definitely target in that fourth round in the early 40s, I think is fine. Even the late 30s, if he really gives you what you need, I'd be happy to reach for him there because there's not a lot of guys in the 40s that I really love, as I said before. So Zion is a good target of mine this season. And that will do it for the top 50 must-draft players. Like I said, guys, you don't have to draft these players. I know the title says that you must. But this is really just my list of players that I think are going a little bit too late and the players that I like to target for various reasons, whether it be that I think they're just going to be ranked higher or the utility value of what they bring to your NBA fantasy team being unique and useful when rounding out your roster in the second, two-thirds of the draft, which is really when you want to get your value. These guys here are your building blocks. These guys here set the foundations. And then from picks 50 to 100, you're really going to start to chase your value. And then in the late rounds, you're taking flyers. You're taking players that have a chance to really break out. And if they don't, you drop them. You stream those positions in. So these guys here, there's only so much value you can get at pick 30. You know, maybe if you get 10 round spots, that's awesome. Like, that's a really, really good return. If you get 5 rounds of spots, that's great. But it's more about what can they do to help me build my team in the future rounds. And I think those players that we talked about today all have good value in various different forms. So be on the lookout for the must-have players, must-draft players in rounds, or the middle rounds, we're going to call it, 51 through 100. That one should be dropping in the next day or two, and then we will have the late-round flyers to round out the final preparation for fantasy drafts before the season gets underway next week. Like, subscribe, 5-star rating. See you guys next week. Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.